Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hey there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm so glad to have you here with me on this program. Today, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. And I'm really excited to talk about these readings because I think there is a great message for each of us, as there always is with the readings when we look, when we open up the Bible, and we let the Word of God speak to us. There's always a message for each of us. We're going to unpack that message and see how it applies to us. So we'll spend the rest of the show doing that. I mentioned at the start that I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Just a couple of thoughts about that. We want to really remember. We're still in the Christmas season. We don't want to forget about the fact that the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, became man for our sake. He came to earth. He suffered. He died. He lived among us, and you know, he's still here with us. We don't want to think that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. He's not around anymore. He is still here. It takes a little creativity on our part to recognize him in other people, to recognize his presence in the Eucharist, to recognize his presence in a spiritual sense in all of the sacraments, and to hear him speak to us through the Bible. That takes some creativity. But it's important to remember that he is still here. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in other words, he hasn't changed. And I think as we begin this new year, I think it's a good thought to keep in mind that no matter what we faced, Jesus is with us. That has been the message, a consistent message throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. The Lord has always said, I am with you. Do not be afraid because I am with you. And when it comes right down to it, that's the reason why we shouldn't be afraid. He never said, don't be afraid because I want to take your problems away. He never said, don't be afraid because you probably won't have too many problems in life. Never said that. But he said, do not be afraid because I am with you. So as we go into this new year, which is an exciting time. I know it can be a little scary, but it really is an exciting time, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But as we go into this new year, just try to remember that the Lord is with you. I think if we can keep that fact in mind. I mean, this is the God of the universe. He created all things out of nothing. He can do all things. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. He's with us. And he's promised to be with us until the end of the time. If we can just remember that, we're going to be a whole lot more peaceful. So I will do my part to help you remember that on this program. And I'm going to try to help, you know, each day in my own life, I've got to remind myself of that fact too. The Lord's with me, Gary. Come on. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. He's with you. You can handle this. Because in Christ, we can do all things. Apart from him, Jesus said, you could do nothing. Well, that's okay. But with me, you can do all things. And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind. So we're in a new year now. And, I used to dread the new year because it was the unknown. And I think for so many of us, the fear of the unknown could be almost disabling. We're just afraid, like, okay, I'm just going to wait for something bad to happen. Now, not everybody does that. But some of us have that tendency. We just have that tendency to wait for, okay, well, last year was okay, but but I don't know what to expect next year. But it's okay, because the way I look at it now, and I give the Lord the credit for this, as I've grown closer to him and I've been able to walk with him, and believe me, this is something you can do. If you struggle with this, if it sounds foreign to you, it sounded foreign to me for many years, but you can do it. And it all starts by surrendering your life to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I can't do this without you. I need you. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I can't be good without you. I can't do anything without you. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Take over. That's where it begins. And from that point on, if you spend some time with him every day, you're going to see your peace will grow and you'll be amazed at what he can do in your life. But over the years, as I've grown closer to our Lord Jesus, and he's led me to my Father in heaven, and he's made me more aware of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, and I have the protection of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. They're interceding for me, and all the saints and all the angels and my guardian angel. I'm a lot less afraid than I used to be, because I know that whatever happens in my life, and again, let's go back to that power thing. God is called Almighty God for a reason. He's almighty. He could do all things. If he is going to allow some trouble, some difficulty, some challenge to enter into my life, there's a reason for it. And I think too many times we think of God as being so distant. Well, in this Christmas season, we remember the fact that God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's Jesus. He came to earth to be with us. He's not some distant God. He's not way up in heaven where he can't really get involved in our day-to-day lives. He is involved, but he'll back off if we don't invite him. So that's where the surrender comes in. You invite him to get more involved in your life, he will do that. And as you walk with him, as you get to know him more, as you read scripture, it's so critical to read scripture every day, just a little bit every day. You don't have to spend a couple hours, but just a little bit. As you read of the stories of the miracles, time and time again, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, how God has gotten his people out of one jam after another, then your confidence in him grows. You see, that's what happens. And you start to think, well, I can get through this because with God, all things are possible. And then you can enter a new year thinking, wow, Lord, I can't wait to see what you have in store for me. Sure, there's going to be crosses. Sure, there's going to be challenges. Sure, there could be suffering, some of it pretty severe. It's possible. But if he brings you to it, he is going to bring you through it. Please keep that in mind. And if you continue to grow closer to him, you're going to really believe that. And then you won't be afraid as you enter into a new year, which, again, could be scary. But it's not. It's all good stuff. So I'll be here, God willing. I'm going to be here to help remind you of that once each week. Anyway, I'm blabbing a little bit. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at the readings for the solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. So please join me, and let's remember that we are in the presence, wow, this is so cool, of God the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, and also the Holy Spirit. So just keep that in mind. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for giving us this new day. Thank you for giving us life so that we can share in a relationship or enter into a relationship with you. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you want to provide for our needs. We know that you want us to turn over our problems to you. So we do that, Father. We give you our problems. We ask you to provide for ourselves and our families. Help us to know what you would like us to do in our lives, because we want to be used as your instruments, your hands and feet in the world would like to do that. So please use us and continue to guide us. Let us know your will for our lives. Father, I ask you to bless this, the remainder of this program today, and speak through me. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive in me, to give me the words so that I can adequately share your message with everyone listening to the program. And Father, I ask you to help us all as we enter into this new year. Help us not to be afraid as we begin a new year of service to you. Help us to be able to look back on the last year, the past year, and see your providential hand in so many areas of our lives. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us guide our minds to remember the many times that you, Father, came through for us. And we ask this, all of these things, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for praying with me again. I'm Gary Zimak. This is the Gary Zimak Show. We come to you once each week through many podcast outlets, many Catholic radio stations around the country. I'm grateful to everyone for carrying this program. I'm grateful for you to show up each week and to listen to this program. That means a lot to me. Thank you for writing to me. Thank you for contributing to my ministry so that I can keep going with this sharing of the good news that I like to do. you need more information about me and the work I do, my books, how to invite me to speak at your parish, you need to go to followingthetruth.com. That is my website. You can contact me through the website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, if you'd like to make a donation, it would be very much appreciated by me. Things were a little slow toward the end of 2019. And if you're able to do that, I know it's a tough time. We're coming out of Christmas. It's a rough time. But if at all possible, your donation, your financial contribution, or your willingness to become a monthly sponsor of my work would be very, very helpful. So I'm going to put that out there. And if you'd like to do that, you can do it securely via PayPal by going to followingthetruth.com. All right. Thank you so much. So these readings, let's talk about them now. We are celebrating now the Epiphany of the Lord. It's a solemnity. It's a big deal. The Christmas season is not over. So don't stop thinking about the fact that Jesus got involved in the messiness of your life. I mean, that is a really cool thought. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a conqueror. He didn't come in majesty. He came as a little infant. I mean, you talk about stooping down. You talk about humility. There is your great example of humility right there. The fact that Jesus came to earth as a helpless baby. There's a lesson in that for all of us. Now, today, we're going to look at these readings for the solemnity of the Epiphany. This is a reminder, this great day is a reminder for us that Jesus is the Savior, not just of the Jewish people, but of all the world. He's the Savior of the world. And today we see the Magi, or sometimes referred to as the three kings, they are coming from a Gentile land to seek out the Savior. Now, there's a couple of things I'm going to point out when we look at this gospel in particular today, things you may have missed, but this is a very appropriate story. Everything that we talk about on this program, I want it to be relevant, because the gospel and all of the Bible is incredibly relevant. Sometimes, though, we view it as a history book, we lose sight of the relevance of and the practicality of God's written word for our daily lives. But there is a huge message here for us today. So without further ado, let's look at it. We'll begin with the gospel, as I do each week on the show. We lead with the gospel, which comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? When we saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, so that I may too go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them. Until it came and stopped over the place where the child was, they were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." Now, look, this is a very familiar story, and we can almost picture the three kings or the wise men in the manger scene. But, you know, we got to get past that, because sometimes our mental image of what took place during the events surrounding the birth of our Lord is not what's described in Scripture. So there's a great lesson here. There's a lot of things we can overlook. We don't want to overlook these things. We don't want to overlook the message and why this applies to each one of us. So the first thing we're told is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And this was in the days of King Herod. Now, King Herod was appointed by the Roman Senate to be the king of the Jews. Herod, by all accounts, was not a nice man. He was a really, really nasty ruler. And obviously, he had no desire to go pay tribute or pay homage to the Savior. He was looking to kill Jesus. And that's what we want to keep in mind. He was a very nasty person. He was very much insecure. Because here he thinks, I'm the king of the Jews. I am appointed as the king of the Jews. Who is this king that these wise men or these magi are talking about? And he felt threatened by Jesus. And you know what? Jesus has that effect on people. He has that effect on you and me. Sometimes we don't realize it. But when Jesus, when he speaks, when you get close to Jesus, when you enter into a close relationship with Jesus, he challenges you, and it can be very threatening. And yeah, Jesus, by his words, can divide. He could divide families. And in fact, he said that. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but bring division. Because if you're going to follow Jesus and do it all the way, if you are all in as a Christian, you can expect to get some pushback from other people. So that's really an important point to keep in mind, that yeah, Jesus can be a source of division. He can be threatening if you really are following him. If you are not challenged by the teaching of Jesus, you know, just saying, but maybe there's a little bit of work you have to do. But look, this is something that I realize too. I should be challenged every day because of the fact that I am a follower of Christ. Because so many times, I don't want to do what he wants me to do. So in the days of King Herod, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is the newborn king of the Jews? Now, the thought is, many theologians who have looked at this passage have speculated that these guys were actually astrologers. So they're really into the stars. They are following the star. But obviously, they are familiar with the Old Testament prophecy about this star, which will lead to the ruler, which announces the birth of the Messiah, the ruler of the universe, or the new king of Israel. That's what these guys, even though they were Gentiles, they were aware of this, and they're aware of the scriptures too. And I think I want to make a point about that in just a few minutes. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And that goes back to what I was just saying. Herod's troubled because he's jealous. He feels threatened because there's another king. What's this, a king? There are no other kings but me. See, this is the way he feels. And all of Jerusalem is troubled too, for many different reasons. But again, look, if you're going to really follow Jesus in your life, you can expect to be challenged too, because we all tend to worship our own idols. Now, we're not going to admit it. Oh, no, me? No idol worship for me. I worship the Lord. Until something happens, until he asks us to get out of the boat, until he puts us into a difficult situation in our life, until we have to love somebody that we don't want to love, and all of a sudden, he's challenging us, and we can get disturbed too. So I think as a sign of, and I'm just going to put this out there, I think that if you feel disturbed sometimes because of things you feel Jesus is telling you to do, that's not a bad thing. That's a sign you're on the right track, but you just have to respond in humility and imitate Jesus and go along with whatever it is that he's asking you to do. So Herod assembles the chief priests and scribes of the people and asks them where the Christ was to be born. Now check this out. So the chief priest and the scribes, the religious guys, the holy men, right? They're able to tell Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is it has been written through the prophet, and this is a combined prophecy from Micah and Samuel. And you, O Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. These guys knew the prophecy. They knew the Old Testament prophecy. They knew where the Messiah was going to be born. They knew enough to tell Herod. So now here comes these Gentiles coming from the east to inquire about the newly born king, the Messiah. Herod goes to the religious guys. They give him the information. But did you notice that they're not in Bethlehem? Did you check that out? Who was in Bethlehem? The shepherds, the lowly shepherds, they responded to the good news of great joy brought to them by the angel. And these Gentiles who were seeking the newborn king, the religious people, they're not there. And here's the warning for you and for me. Believe me, this applies to me too. Just because we go to church, just because we know about the Bible, just because we receive the sacraments, just because we call ourselves Catholic Christians, doesn't mean that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we are true disciples. This is a challenge for us. Let's not be the holy rollers who are too holy to really follow Jesus, to encounter him, to listen and to obey him, right? There's a danger there. Are we really seeking Jesus? Are we really seeking to put all our decisions before the Lord? Do I buy a new car? Do I buy a new house? Should I take this new job? Should I quit my existing job? Should I give more money? Should I have another child? Should I do this? Should I do that? Are we willing to submit to the Lordship of Jesus? A lot of times, no. But listen, this is where the peace will come in. If you start to do this, and I believe me, I've fought this for a long time. I'm pretty stubborn. If you humble yourself before the Lord and submit to him and really try to seek him out in your day-to-day life, you're going to be so much more peaceful than if you don't do that. Just try it out and you'll see. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but it really is true. We don't want to be these hypocrites that claim to go to church but yet ignore the poor and ignore people who really need us and not reach out to those who really need to know about Jesus. We don't want to do that. And we also don't want to say nasty things on social media. You know, I see a lot of this. It drives me crazy. And it's something that I have to fight all the time. This is a weakness of mine, too. But the more I get to know Christ, the more I realize that I have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit change me. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to change me into the image of Jesus. Am I willing to let it happen? And so anyway, Herod lies. He says, I want to go worship the child, too. But the kings, or the wise men, are on their way. They bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This represents the divinity of the Lord. The frankincense is used to worship God. Myrrh is used, it's an embalming ointment. So this is the recognition of the fact that Jesus is going to have to die. So the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gifts brought by the wise men to the Lord. The question to you is, what gift can you give to the Lord today? I mean, we all have gifts. A lot of times we'll say, well, I don't have any gifts. He has given each one of us some kind of gift. Even the knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, can you share that knowledge with somebody? Can you talk to Jesus, somebody about Jesus today? Because there are a lot of people, and many of them are beside you at Mass on Sunday, who don't know that it's even possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus and what that relationship can bring. Somebody needs to hear about Jesus, and that's a gift that you can give to him. Finally, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. I remember Archbishop Fulton Sheen talking about this, saying that Jesus changes us, or Jesus, a relationship, an encounter with Jesus should change us. So once you meet him, you don't go home the same way again. You are changed. That's what happened with the wise men. Let's look at the first reading now from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning in verse 1. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense. See, there's that reference to what we heard about in the gospel. And proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the King, the Messiah, the Savior of the entire world. Everybody, not just the Jews. And isn't that a great thing? So, he's the light of the world. We don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness. Every day, we can turn to Jesus and ask for that guidance that we need to deal with whatever it is that we are dealing with. Again, he wants to be involved in your day-to-day life, but he waits for you to invite him. He's the light of the world, so let's not walk in the darkness. Let's invite him into our life today. To the responsorial psalm, Psalm 72, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment, endow the king, and with your justice, the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flower in his days and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him. For he shall rescue the poor, that's you and me, when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. That's us. We are poor. We need Jesus. Let's cry out and ask him to save us. And let's spread the word. Let's spread the word to all of the world, to everyone around us, that Jesus is Lord and he can change and transform our lives. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body and co-partners in the promise in Jesus Christ through his gospel. You and me, if we are Gentiles, you may not be, you know, not all of us are of the Israelite heritage. We as Gentiles are also, we also have a Savior, and Jesus is our Savior as well. And that is some pretty cool news. So as I bring this show to a close, and we are just about out of time, I want you to remember, Jesus Christ is your Lord. He's your Savior. He wants to help you. Just turn to him, ask for that help, and spread the good news. Let other people know that Jesus loves them and he can get involved in their lives as well. Okay, will you do that? All right, I've got to run. Any questions, any comments? Again, if you want to make a donation, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Now, remember, new year now, don't be afraid, because wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, all powerful, all loving, all knowing, you are in good hands. I'm going to run now. I'll be praying for you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Please keep me in your prayers as well, and I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.